this is a test of the audio quality, because yesterday we had a lot of bad audio, and audio problems were associated with the track yesterday that we recorded. So let's see whether this is going to be a cleaner audio track. I just need to record it for a long enough time to see whether it's clean. I'm not sure what happened before, whether there was loose connection, bad connection, I don't know. So if this doesn't work, I'll try the headphones, I'll try the earphones and see whether that, I'll try them both right now actually. See whether this works. I need to do a recording for maybe a couple of minutes just to see if it's working. We're going to look at today Joshua. Well, maybe we can just do the recording. Assume it's working. What time is it? Not what time is it. Let's see. What track are we looking at? What chapter? 14, 15. Joshua 15. Let's just look at it. It's today, September 27th, 2023, 1946 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. The book of Joshua. We normally start with something else, though, so we're not going to do this first. Joshua 15, and we're also looking at Romans 9, Jehovah willing here, 9. I'm telling the truth in Christ, and we also will be looking at a proverb or Ecclesiastes or something for a scripture. Let's do 26. That is that going to work? Let's see, 26. And today's date, the 27th. Let's see. Yeah. That's interesting. That's 4, 12. That might work. What else we need? We're going to be doing 7, chapter 7 of, and paragraph 8, chapter 7, paragraph 8. Maybe we can get there quickly. There it is. We're getting there. Right. That's where we're going to be starting, September 27th, 2023. The above remark is for the Bible more than Josephus. That is talking about Josephus being the second most important document regarding the history, the antiquities of Palestine. He's the second most important source after the Bible. And the above remark is for the Bible more than Josephus. It is actually saying that the Bible is in fact the best source for all historical study of Palestine. Two of the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew and John, are actually eyewitness accounts of the events. From these accounts in the books of Luke and Mark, as well as the first chapter of Acts by Luke, we obtain the most accurate understanding to do with this Jesus. Our years of the Common Era are now 2020 CE, at the time this was written. Excuse me. Which era itself, that is the Common Era, is reckoned from a year near to Jesus' birth year. The year may err, but it was founded to mark his time. Dionysius Exiguus, in 525 CE, as he deemed it, he deemed his own year to be 525 in the sense that it was 525 years, in his view, since the incarnation of our Lord. Jesus, that is, Jesus, our Lord. To this day, we account years from that same estimate, that is, that year of Dionysius Exiguus being defined as 525 CE. This may be the best proof that Jesus was the Messiah, the fact that we use this dating era, the era of counting the years since the birth of Christ. That's the method that's been used by the Western world, much of it, for ever since the time of the coming of Jesus to earth. But the Bible offers many evidences of this same fact, i.e. that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah. Everything prophesied in the Bible had to be fulfilled about the Messiah, but all of which Jesus did fulfill. And to see that, one has to study it in great depth. But when one does that, all of these biblical prophecies are fulfilled by the Messiah, and they're fulfilled by Jesus, which means he's the Messiah. Bringing an end to the Jewish temple, Jesus did. Yet that's the other thing. Jesus brought an end to the Jewish temple. After his death in 30 CE, the temple was brought to ruin in 70 CE, and the Jewish system of worship ended 40 years after the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. The system of worship that preceded Christianity was done away with, which is more proof, it's the final proof, that Jesus was the Messiah, of course. He not only brought an end to the Jewish temple, but the services of the temple were brought to an end also, because they didn't have any more a record of the priestly lineage, or they had no way to perpetuate their line of priests. They didn't have, they lost all the essentials when the temple was destroyed. They lost the basis for their religion, and it terminated. There's one wall of the temple was preserved, the Western Wall of the Temple, the famous Western Wall, if I have that correct. And that's where many of the Orthodox Jews still congregate and pray, even up until today. But the Jewish system ended, and that's the most startling thing about this story about Jesus, is that everything came true, including the cessation of the Jewish system of worship. And the other things that came true, well, they are very many. They can't be studied in 1 minute or even in 1 day. They take a long time to study all the things in the prophecies of the Bible, which Jesus did fulfill. It takes a long time to do that, but many people have written about it. It's been documented in many other places besides the Bible, but mainly it's in the Bible. You can look for it. Today's scripture from the Proverbs is Proverbs 26 and 8. Like one shutting up a stone in a heap of stones, so is the one giving glory to a mere stupid one. That's our proverb for today, little ones. Joshua reading for today, and the lot. Now we're talking about the dividing up of the promised land. Since we talked about in chapter 14 of Joshua how the land had been conquered and they had attained peace, there was no disturbance from war, which meant that they'd finished the major conquest of the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And now chapter 15 of Joshua, and the lot of the tribe of the sons of Judah by their families came to be the boundary of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, to the Negev at its southern end. That's the south of Israel. The Negev desert is to the south. And the southern boundary came to be from the extremity of the Salt Sea, which is the bottom south end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that faces southward. And it went out southward to the ascent of Akrabim, and passed over to Zin, and went up from the south to Kadesh Barnea, which is, we know, southwest of Israel, and passed over to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and went around to Karkah. And it passed on to Asmon, and went out to the torrent valley of Egypt, which is to the south, on the Mediterranean Sea, where that torrent valley empties out, and the boundary's termination proved to be at the sea. This came to be their southern boundary, that is, for Judah. And the eastern boundary was the Salt Sea, up to the end of the Jordan, and the boundary at the northern corner was at the Bay of the Sea, at the end of the Jordan, the northern end of the Salt Sea. And the boundary went up to Beth Hogla and passed over at the north of Beth Araba, and the boundary went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the boundary went up to Debir at the low plain of Achor, and turning northward to Gilgal, which is in front of the ascent of Adummim, which is south of the torrent valley. And the boundary passed over to the waters of Enshemesh, and its termination proved to be En-Rogel. And the boundary went up to the valley of the son of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite at the south, that is to say Jerusalem. And the boundary went up to the top of the mountain that faces the valley of Hinnom to the west, which is at the extremity of the low plain of Rephaim to the north. And the boundary was marked out from the top of the mountain to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah, and went out to the cities of Mount Ephron. And the boundary was marked out to Baalah, that is to say Kiriath-Jearim. And the boundary went around from Baalah westward to Mount Seir, and passed over to the slope of Mount Jearim at the north, that is to say Kezalon, and it went down to Beth Shemesh and passed over to Timnah. And the boundary went out to the slope of Ekron to the north, and the boundary was marked out to Shikiron, and passed over to Mount Baalah, and went out to Jabneel, and the boundary's termination proved to be at the sea. So that's the northern boundary, which would take quite a bit of work to identify all these different places and chart the northern boundary of Judah, but it was basically around the vicinity of Jerusalem, where it was crossing from east to west. And the western boundary was the Great Sea and its shoreland. That's a straightforward boundary. That's the Mediterranean Sea. This was the boundary all around of the sons of Judah by their families. Of course, the eastern boundary was the Jordan River and the Salt Sea, or the, as it's called, let's see, the Salt Sea, it's called there, right? But it's the Sea of the Araba also, it's called. And so we have the western boundary, so that is the land of Judah. And to Caleb, verse 13, the son of Jephunneh, to him he gave a share in the midst of the sons of Judah at the order of Jehovah to Joshua, namely Kiriath-Arba, said Arba being the father of Anak, that is to say Hebron. So Caleb drove away from there the three sons of Anak, namely Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, those born of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir before that was Kiriath-Sefer, and Caleb proceeded to say, whoever strikes Kiriath-Sefer and does capture it, I shall certainly give him Aksah, my daughter, as a wife. At that, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, captured it. Accordingly, he gave him Aksah, his daughter, as a wife. And it came about that when she was going home, she kept inciting him to ask a field from her father. Then she clapped her hands while upon the ass. At this, Caleb said to her, what do you want? So she said, do give me a blessing, for it is a piece of land to the south you have given me, and you must give me Gullath Mayim. Accordingly, he gave her Upper Gullath and Lower Gullath. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah by their families. Caleb was evidently then of the tribe of of the tribe of Judah. It's good tea. He was of the tribe of Judah. in the midst, or he got a share in the midst of the sons of Judah. That's right. Whether he was of this, I can't remember if he was of the tribe of Judah or not. It sounds like it would be logical. We have to research that separately. Just we'd have to look up Caleb. Was he of the tribe of Judah? And we'd find out. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah by their families. Let's look it up. We need to find out, was Caleb of the tribe of Judah? So, right. Yes, he was, tribe of Judah. Wait a minute, he was integrated. He was integrated into Israel as a member of Judah, it says here. He was a Kenizzite. But he was one of the 12 spies. If we looked up the 12 spies, right, numbers right here, 13 and 30, if we look at when they selected the spies, of the tribe of Judah, numbers 13 and 6, we see that, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, so he was of the tribe of Judah, yeah. So, verse 21 of Joshua 15 now, and the cities at the extremity of the tribe of the sons of Judah toward the boundary of Edom in the south came to be Kabzeel and Eder and Jaguar, and Kina and Dimona, and Adada, and Kedesh and Hazor and Ithnan, Ziph and Telem and Baaloth, and Hazor Hadatta and Kirioth Hezron, that is to say Hazor, Amam and Shema and Moleda and Hazor Gada and Heshmon and Bethpelet and Hazor Shual and Beersheba and Beziothiah, Baalah and Iim and Ezem and Eltolad and Kizil and Horma and Ziklag and Medmana and Sansana and Lebaoth and Shilhim and Ain and Rimmon, all the cities being 29, together with their settlements. Excuse me. Those were the cities at the extremity, in verse 21, of the tribe of the sons of Judah toward the boundary of Edom in the south. So these are cities of the sons of Judah that were given to Judah, part of their territory, it sounds like. Verse 33, in the Shephelah there were Eshtaol, and Zora, and Ashna, and Zanoa, and Enganim, Tapua, and Enam, Jarmuth, and Adullam, Soko, and Azekah, and Shearim, and Adithaim, and Gedira, and Gederothaim, 14 cities and their settlements. That's in the Shephelah. The Shephelah is the part, I believe it might be forested land, it's the part where the lowlands rise up into the mountainous region, and that's called the Shephelah. It's sort of the land in between the mountainous region and the, that's my understanding of it, but let's look it up. I'm just Googling it to see what they say now. You should use the Insight books if you want to have a more... It's foothills, yeah. They're foothills. It's like, it's not reached the mountains yet. You know, it's low-lying. It's not the flatlands or the coastal area, but it's a little more mountainous than that. It's a little more hilly than the flatlands of the coastal region. And in the Shephelah there were Eshtaol and Zora and Ashna and Zanoa and Ganim, Tapua and Enam. Did we read all that before? No, maybe we did. J- Jarmuth and Adullam, sounds familiar. Soko and Azekah and Chearim and Adithaim and Gedira and Gederothaim, 14 cities in their settlements. Yeah, I think we read that. Zenan and Hadasha and Migdalgad and Dilean and Mizpeh and Jokthiel, Lachish and Bozkah and Eglon and Kabon and Lamam and Kitlish and Gederoth, Beth Dagon and Naamah and Makeda, 16 cities and their settlements. Libna and Ether and Ashan and Iphtha and Ashna and Nezib and Kela and Aksib and Marisha, 9 cities and their settlements. Ekron and its dependent towns and its settlements. From Ekron westward, all that is alongside Ashdod and their settlements. This is near the coast now. Ashdod, its dependent towns and its settlements. Gaza on the coast, its dependent towns and its settlements down to the torrent valley of Egypt and the Great Sea and the adjacent region. And in the mountainous region, Shamir and Jatir and Soko and Dana and Kiriath Sana, that is to say Debir, and Anab and Eshtemoth and Anem and Goshen and Holon and Gilo, 11 cities in their settlements. Arab and Duma and Ishan and Janim and Bethtapua and Afika and Humta and Kiriath Arba, that is to say Hebron and Zior, 9 cities in their settlements. Maon, Carmel and Ziph and Jutta and Jezreel and Jokdiam and Zanoah, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah, 10 cities in their settlements. Halhul, Bethsur, and Gedor, and Meirath, and Bethanoth, and Eltikon, 6 cities in their settlements. Kiriath Baal, that is to say Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities in their settlements. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Middin, and Sekeka, and Nibshan, and the city of Salt, and Engedi, 6 cities in their settlements. As for the Jebusites who were dwelling in Jerusalem, the sons of Judah were not able to drive them away, and the Jebusites continue dwelling with the sons of Judah in Jerusalem down to this day. And that's the end of Joshua chapter 15. That was 63 verses. 22 minutes. That took us. That took us most of our study. After the other things we did, we're trying to do Romans 9 now. Paul writing to Romans, to the Roman congregation in chapter 9, I'm telling the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. After he just saying, nothing could separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he gave examples of things that could not separate us from Christ. He goes on to say, I am telling the truth, chapter 9, in Christ. I am not lying, since my conscience bears witness with me in Holy Spirit, that I have great grief and unceasing pain in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were separated as the cursed one from the Christ in behalf of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh, who as such are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the sacred service and the promises. The Jews had all these promises. They had the giving of the law. The Jews had all these important things that were given, the covenants, the things that were given to their ancestors, to whom the forefathers belong and from whom the Christ sprang according to the flesh. God, who is over all, be blessed forever. Amen. However, it is not as though the word of God had failed. For not all who spring from Israel are really Israel. Neither because they are Abraham's seed are they all children, but what will be called your seed will be through Isaac. That is, the children in the flesh are not really the children of God, but the children by the promise are counted as the seed. For the word of the promise was as follows, at this time I will come and Sarah will have a son. Yet not that case alone, but also when Rebekah conceived twins, from the one man, Isaac, our forefather. For when they had not yet been born, nor had practiced anything good or vile, in order that the purpose of God respecting the choosing might continue dependent, not upon works, but upon the one who calls, it was said to her, the older will be the slave of the younger. Just as it is written, I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated. Esau was the elder. And yet God chose Jacob. What shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Never may that become so. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy upon whomever I do have mercy, and I will show compassion to whomever I do show compassion. So then it depends not upon the one wishing, nor upon the one running, but upon God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very cause I have let you remain, that in connection with you I may show my power, and that my name may be declared in all the earth, so that upon whom he wishes he has mercy, but upon whom he wishes he lets, but whom he wishes. So then upon whom he wishes he has mercy, but whom he wishes he lets become obstinate. He will therefore say to me, why does he yet find fault? Verse 19, for who has withstood his express will? You know, why doesn't he just force people to do what's right? You know, O man, who then really are you to be answering back to God? Shall the thing molded say to him that molded it, why did you make me this way? What? Does not the potter have authority over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for an honorable use, another for a dishonorable use? If now God, although having the will to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, tolerated with much long-suffering vessels of wrath, made fit for destruction in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, namely us, whom he called, not only from among Jews, but also from among nations. What of it? It is as he says also in Hosea, those not my people I will call my people, and her who is not beloved, beloved. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Moreover, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, although the number of the sons of Israel may be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved, for Jehovah will make an accounting on the earth, concluding it and cutting it short. Also, just as Isaiah had said aforetime, unless Jehovah of armies had left a seed to us, we should have become just like Sodom, and we should have been made just like Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that people of the nations, although not pursuing righteousness, caught up with righteousness, the righteousness that results from faith, but Israel, although pursuing a law of righteousness, did not attain to the law. For what reason? Because he pursued it not by faith, but as by works. They stumbled on the stone of stumbling, in quotes, stone of stumbling, as it is written, quote, look, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock mass of offense, but he that rests his faith on it will not come to disappointment, end quote. And that's the end of Romans chapter 9. Jesus Christ, of course, was the stone of stumbling. The one upon whom the Jews stumbled because they couldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. Many of them, in fact, or at least the religious leaders predominantly, could not accept it. And that's why, of course, the Jewish system did end in the way that it did, by destruction. But it was foretold that these things would happen. It's not as though there was going to be, I mean, you know, it was necessary that Jesus would be this stone of stumbling. It was necessary that they would stumble upon Jesus and that they wouldn't believe. That was part of the scripture prophecy. That was part of what was prophesied. The stone of stumbling. From, like, Psalms 118:22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. They rejected Jesus. He was the actual Messiah, the head of the corner of the Christian temple, in the spiritual temple. Jesus was the founder of the Christian church, or the person who brought it into being, into reality. He was the foundation cornerstone. He was the chief cornerstone of the church of Christianity. And yet, the previous regime of religious leaders, the Jews, rejected him. So this is the stone, Jesus, that the builders rejected. And of course, Matthew 21 and 42 also refers to that. Jesus himself referred to it. The stone that the builders rejected is the one that has become the chief cornerstone. And there it is in Psalm 119, the stone that the builders, verse 22, rejected has become the head of the corner. Psalm 118, verse 22. And 1 Peter 2 and 6, for it is contained in Scripture, look, I am laying in Zion a stone, chosen, a foundation cornerstone, precious, and no one exercising faith in it will by any means come to disappointment. But it's not always that clear if all the religious leaders are saying that Jesus is not from God, that he's from the devil, and they're all accusing Jesus of being wicked and blaspheming, and they're accusing him of these things, then it's not at all clear for the general people, the general populace of the church, you know, the general congregation who is the people who are trying to follow the leaders of the Jewish church. It wasn't clear for them. They would have to see Jesus and believe him based on their own seeing and hearing of what Jesus said, believe based on his works and on what he said. They would have to judge that way if they were to believe, because they wouldn't believe based on the religious leaders. They were not telling people to believe in Jesus. He was rejected by them. And that was prophesied in Psalm 118, that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Powerful scripture. It says that you can be a reject and still be the foundation of the future. That's what that says. It's a powerful scripture that came true in Jesus' case for all Christians today, because all of us who believe in Jesus have experienced the fulfillment of that prophecy. We've only got about a minute. I hope the audio turns out better today. I don't have any idea whether it will or not. If it doesn't, I'll have to go back to my headphones or earphones and try them or some other method of recording the audio. I don't know what happened yesterday, but I did find a loose connector afterwards that was a video connector. I don't know if that would affect the audio. So since we've done 33 minutes, if it works, we don't have to do it again. It's September 27th, 2023, 2018 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green, I love you. This is Crow. And this is Cassie. Beautiful watches that they are saying bye for now.